welcome to The Expansive and our last pod of 2024. It's really awesome to have you with us. And as always, I'm joined by Eric, my co-host, and it's been a wonderful year to be spending time with you with Eric and with you with Eric. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't talk today. With
you, Cancun. Eric. It's Cancun vibes.
It's Cancun.
It's Cancun what, it's what happens yes. when you've been sitting in meditation for the past week, not speaking
yeah, your
to anyone,
mouth,
but just...
You forgot yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the first day I'm speaking with my mouth again. Yes, I'm here. I am. All the way from Mexico, greeting you all. Welcome back to our pod. And Eric, how are you, brother?
Hey, dude. Yeah, I'm so well. I hope I left Mexico in a good state for you. I told them you were coming. I told them to receive you well. So I hope that they've done that. I loved my time in Mexico. Sure. What an incredible place to be in.
And how amazing that we were literally we like almost flew past each other yeah. of all the countries in the world. as you left, I arrived.
Yeah.
And Mexico is full of warm, engaging people, just like their weather in many ways. Just such a fantastic place, man. So great. It's my seventh time in Mexico. And sure. I just don't want to ever stop coming back here.
Has every time been for a Joe Dispenza retreat?
No. No, I've also okay. done a couple just talks. Yeah, I've done a couple okay. Talks. I mean, remember the way you got your talks was by me doing my talks here. You know, I come, go in, pioneer, then hand the baton over to Eric, you know what I mean? So I'm making sure everything's lacquer for you. And then when it's lacquer, then I say, okay, Eric,
thank
it's time
you.
For you to come.
Thank you, thank you.
Pleasure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've just finished my 10-day meditation retreat. So I'm bubbling with a lot of different energy and a lot of different ideas. So really looking forward to this pod. And unpacking 2024 together and just reflecting and seeing how the year has gone. And obviously, you've got new hardy dog pets. Is that what's happening inside your
no,
new house?
That is a... what is the big one with the colorful tail?
Peacock,
yeah. It has decided to create its little nest right next to our house. And it is the loudest thing that like squawks in at like 4 o'clock in the mornings. So
oh,
yeah,
wow.
so yeah, that's the new tenant right next to us. But listen, dude. So I think how we let's do it like this for today. Let's have a bit of a debrief about your Joe Dispenza retreat and how that went for you. You've already shared some incredible things with us offline, and then let's do a little bit of a recap of 2024. I have some stats for us about the pod that we can chat about, and then we obviously have some of our own reflections as well on. What went well, what didn't go so well in this year, and how did our word of the year play out as well? So I think kicking us off, tell us about Joe Dispenza, dude. This was your first 10-day retreat, I think the first 10-day that he offered. So how was that different from all the other ones that you've been on, and what have you come away with?
So everybody wanted a two-day extension. Everybody's like, two more days. And so nobody wanted to leave, actually.
Jeez.
And so he's done 55 7 days, and this was his first 10-day. And what he was able to do was add new information into his work on day 8, 9, and 10, which is work I've never heard, obviously, because of nobody's heard, in fact, because everybody's there for the first time. What was really amazing about this event is that over 80% of people are advanced meditators. And whereas the other events are mixed between startup people who've just started meditating or never meditated and some advanced, this was predominantly advanced. So the energy in the room was immediately powerful because of the amount of work that people have done in the room, you know? And so I met people who've done 22 events, bro. I've done 13. I thought I'd done a lot. I'm like, I spoke to these girls from Chicago. Hey, my friends from Chicago, shout out to you. They listen to the pod. Shout out to you, my Chicagoans. She's like 22. I was like, what? 22? Like, dude, I'm an amateur. Anyway, it was incredibly deep, incredibly triggering. The first 3 days were horrific. In fact, everybody I spoke to the first 3 days, everybody was ready to kill each other. And the reason is that you've got a body that is continuously busy and full of adrenaline because you're in your normal life. And when you come here, you're forced to sit quietly. So you've taken this wild stallion that you're forcing to sit down, and the stallion's bucking. It's just bucking. It does not want to sit still. It's finding every reason not to go deep. It's like it was a very difficult 3-4 days. In fact, in those first three, four days, I'd committed to myself to never come back to another retreat. I was hating it so much. And in fact, I met two or three people who were about to leave, and they got coerced to staying. And then by day 4, day 5, something just popped, you know, and you're just like, phew, and you move into that sort of like incredibly blissful state. And the major thing that I picked up on, and I've spoken about this on the pod before, is the ability to name and tame your personality traits. And I did the most incredible realization and discovery that I've got this character inside me called Courtney. And Courtney always takes me to court. She's continuously judging me. And because of a continuous judging of me, I'm continuously trapped in a place of defending what I want in the world, not deserving. And it was so incredible meeting her because, and for people who haven't listened to the pod around this, is the game is to become the sort of the king of your kingdom or the queen of your queendom. And in order to do that, you need a peaceful citizenship. And the peaceful citizenship is to name some of your personality traits and hear them out and love them and hold space for them. And so I've introduced a bunch on the pod, and this time I met Courtney. And Courtney is this person that continuously makes me want to defend myself. And that was like day four I met her. And when I did meet her, she was emancipated, exhausted from working so hard to try and keep herself alive by continuously giving me new things to want to defend, which is the weirdest thing. I was trying to sit there and I was continuously in an argument with myself, with other people. And I was like so bamboozled by it. I was like, what am I arguing about here? And by day five, I realized that if I really and truly thought I deserved the reality I wanted, I would have never created the character Courtney to get me to keep continuously wanting to prove to the world that I deserve what I deserve. So if I say that again, I didn't truly believe I deserved what I wanted in life. So I created a character to keep asking me why I think I deserve what I want and then keep defending myself. You realize? Like how Jeez. Our psyche plays that game based on a lack of worthiness.
That's insane. Jeez.
And you know me, Eric. I mean, you know me better than most people. And you know, I'm very ambitious. I'm very goal-driven. I'm very active. And meanwhile, in that activity and ambition and hours of meditation a day for years, I had a character inside me I had no idea about. I had a lack of deserving that I had no idea about. And only by sitting Jeez. Still for 10 days does it show up. Why? Because you're sitting still long enough. And the problem is we don't sit still long enough. And so what happens is we don't sit still. And so we never meet the characters. And they keep ruling our lives. And you know me, bro. I'm not like, I don't know many people as optimistic and ambitious as me. And I'm still suffering from that. I'm like, what? Who is this character coming here saying this to me? Anyway, so I've met her, I've loved her, I've integrated her. And there's been many tears, many, many, many sobbing tears. When you start to realize that you've been carrying this weight around you without knowing it, and when you start to cry, when you've realized that it's a beautiful washing away of an old way of thinking. And if you think of tears as that, as a windscreen wiper, washing away old visions of yourself to see more clearly, I'm still feel emotional about it because I didn't know I was carrying this. Dude, I'm 50 years old next year. I've been carrying this for 50 years. Think about people that die that never discover these characters inside them and develop personalities and realities based on triggers and insecurities that they have no idea they're carrying.
Dude.
Oh, God. It's just the most beautiful thing.
It's layers upon layers upon layers. And the reality is that for most people, it'll go unnoticed their entire lives and they'll be driven by these subconscious patterns their entire lives. And it's...
That are negative.
And that are so deeply integrated. And, you know, I often reference this stat in my talks that I found somewhere that said 14% of people have a high level of self-awareness. And like, it sounds crazy when you think of it like that, but then, you know, using this as an example, you know, I classify you as someone with a very high level of self-awareness, but self-awareness isn't just sitting and like knowing your patterns cognitively. It is like being able to unravel those deeply embedded patterns. And it actually makes sense to me that so few people have a high level of self-awareness because they don't do the work required to go and uncover those deepest layers and to shine a light on where the shadows are. We prefer to just stay superficial. And we think like, oh, if I'm journaling enough, then like, you know, then I have enough self-awareness. Or if I'm getting coaching, I have enough self-awareness. You don't, because you're not going into the crevices of your mind to go dig and to see what was laid as a foundation many, many years ago. And so actually that number actually makes total sense to me.
Mm. Yeah, well said. I like that. And it is deep crevices. And the only way you access those deep crevices is through stillness.
Mm.
You can't access them through anything else, because you have to get to a point where you become an observer of your thoughts. And when you are an observer of your, when you're truly an observer of your thoughts and you're able to engage with them as characters, you then are having an ability to build a conversation with those aspects of yourself. Whereas before they were ruling you, and now all of a sudden they become just characteristics that you can work through. And the last thing I'll say about this event is he spoke a lot about time travel. And, you know, it's a weird concept to think about time travel, but the truth is there is no time. Time is a construct of our world. And even in this world, time is experienced differently. If you're highly stressed, you never have enough time. And if you're super chilled on holiday, time goes away so quickly. Like, you know, you've got so much time, and you've got everything stretches, and then sometimes it goes quickly, and then sometimes it stretches. So time's very malleable. And time travel means your ability to move between timelines. And what he really honed in on was the fact that our reality is made up of atoms. And atoms are 99.999999% empty. What we are visualizing and seeing is 0.00001% of reality. And so we have this potentiality around us that's pregnant with potential, that's pregnant with opportunities. In fact, any opportunity you can imagine. But because we are so honed in on this 0.0001% of reality, we never are able to take our focus away from this 0.001% reality and put it somewhere else. And when we're able to do that through a process of meditation and stillness, we time travel. We literally time travel, because what you're doing is you're moving timelines, because your focus moves onto another slither of reality. And so the whole point of this was time traveling between timelines at a pace. And so our skill set of the future will be our ability to focus on the unknown so we can awaken it. And the last piece on this, what you don't believe is real is not real. What you start to believe is real becomes real because of your ability to focus. And your most important skill, and the piece I sent you that I wrote, was your superpower is your ability to focus. And so when you're triggered and when you're stressed, you're actually not focused. Your focus is being determined by your history, your past, and your trauma. And when you're able to get over those and then choose what you focus on, and you start to focus on the unknown and start to time travel into the unknown, you now start to access different realities at an incredibly new pace. And the fact that he's doing this through science, he's a scientist sitting there, and he's on his way to the Vatican today. He's flying to the Vatican to present his latest research to the Vatican and to the science. And he says he's going to be on a podcast that 900 million Catholics listen to. 900 million Catholics listen to the Vatican podcast. Yeah, he's going to be talking to them about neuroscience and quantum science. And I'm like, wow, the stuff's growing quickly into the mainstream.
Listen, one thing I wanted you to also just share quickly is the conversation with 2027, John, because like when you mentioned that, I've been doing a very similar practice actually, but maybe I need to extend my time horizon a bit, is what I realized when you spoke about it. Is that when I'm on the beach, often with the dogs, I'll talk about like the month that I've just had as if I'm talking to you and like telling you about my month and how, you know, how great it was. So kind of doing a similar exercise, but I think not on the same time horizon, which might be a better way to think about it. You want to just tell us about that as well?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously we have the expansive book coming out, and I don't want to take any energy away from that, because I'm really looking forward to launching that with you. And we've got such amazing plans, and we've already pitched it to a few publishers, and all of them are keen to chat to us. And I love that. I love that. That's just, oh, that's lucky us. Anyway, so I've got another book coming out next year called Future Memories. And with it, what I'm going to be launching is a range of different products to help you develop your future memories with much more ease. And one of the products that I'm going to be launching is Memoirs from Your Future Self. And so what will happen is that you will start the memoir in 2027. And what you will say is, You won't believe what happened. It all started off in Cancun 2024. Let me tell you the incredible ride I went on from that event. And you start to unpack 2025, 2026. And by the time you get to 2027, and to be honest with you, I find 2027 very hard to think about. I'm very detailed in 2025. And then when I get to 2026, I'm like a little bit less detailed. And then I get to 2027, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know what, I don't know what 2027 is going to be, you know? So yes, the time horizons are important. It does get a lot harder. But if you are able to sit down and reverse engineer through first principles, the reality that you wanted from your future self, talking to your current self and explaining to your current self what has happened over the next 2 to 3 years, you start to literally write the script of the life that you want to live. And I found that every time I've written a book like What's Your Moonshot, I wrote the script for my life because that was my first book and I was in it was just asking you, how big do you think? And I did that. I thought big and I'm still thinking big and I'm still growing. And the second book was Magnetize. How conscious about how are you about your thinking? And I did that too. I was very conscientious about Magnetize and how I was magnetizing the reality I want to me. And so every book I've written has actually been a memoir for me. But now I want to specifically write it about a memoir for my future self. And a great practice for all of us to have.
But can I tell you, I think talking it out the way that you were, because you were describing it to me, and the way that you were describing it to me, I was like, oh, you thought it was real for you.
Yes.
I thought you just haven't, because we haven't spoken for a while, because you've been on the retreat. You know, I was in Mexico. We missed each other on the pod. So we haven't actually had a good catch up. So when you were describing it, I was like, oh, that's amazing. Why haven't you told me about this earlier?
Yes.
And so if it can be relayed that convincingly about something in the future, then you're not just convincing me, you're convincing yourself.
I've convinced. You know,
and
That's exactly it.
You sounded convinced.
Yeah. I was super convinced.
Yes.
I'm super convinced because I spent 10 days living in that world, bro. I've been spending so much time developing that persona of that future John that it's so real for me that, you know, what he says in his meditations is wake up like it's already happened. Get out of your meditation, act like it's already happened and keep moving. And what you were saying to me in off air is that you get up from your meditation, and you move back into your normal life. What that means is that you need to meditate more. That's all it means. It means you haven't spent enough time in that timeline reality because it's not become habitual to you to think like that yet. So it's like saying I'm not fit enough. Well, how do you get fitter? Just go train more, eat better. And so it's exactly the same thing. It's timeline fitness. And so how much more time can you spend in that timeline that you are really wanting to go in?
Definitely. But I think people should take this on as well. And it has to, when you think about that vision for the future, it has to come from a place of being fully convinced that it's already there and you're just working your way towards it now. But it's already,
Don't I look richer to you already? I mean, look at me. I'm glowing with Bitcoin. Bitcoin falling on my ears.
it's the Cancun ocean. That's all I'm seeing on you. I can see
That's true. Right. So that's Dr. Joe.
Amazing.
That's
Thank
Dr.
That.
Joe. Until the next one. Yes. My pleasure. Looking forward to the next one already. I can't wait. Let's make an intention of sharing one soon, Eric. That would be great. It would love to share Dr. Joe with you. Yes, let's do that.
That is very high on my list. Yes.
Let's do that. Now that you're rich, I mean, let's.
Intention is set for that.
Good.
I like
good.
I'm glad.
I started calling a few of my friends my rich friends. And my friends are like, oh, they always do a double take. I'm like, they're like, what? I'm like, you're my rich friend. Don't you know you're my rich friend? They're like, you're right. I am your rich friend. There we go. Own it, bro. Own it. You're rich. I know how much money you're making. So I know you're rich.
Yeah. I know how much money you're making. You're my richer friend. So
that's true. But I'm going to own it.
Yeah. That's good. This podcast is all about owning it. In 2025, it's all about owning it. Every aspect, yes.
Have you already got your word of the year for 2025?
Not yet. I'm getting there, definitely. I can feel it. Do you have yours?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay, don't tell us.
I won't. No, I won't.
We need the listens for the first episode of the new year. You know, it's always the most listened to episode. Keep the suspense.
No. Yeah, but I'm very clear on what it is already. Yeah. Good.
All right. So let's do a quick recap of 2024. And I want to kick us off with a few numbers from the pod. So obviously, it's been a great year for the pod at a high level. Two big things at least have happened. One is that we won Podcast of the Year at the Africa Podcast and Voice Awards, which, round of applause. it's a big deal, you know, and it's really, it's meant a lot to me this year specifically. Like last year, we won the Best Career and Entrepreneurship Award as well.
Yeah.
But Best Podcast of the Year is an entirely new level.
It's a little bit bigger. Yeah.
And just on top of that, you know, the competition was much better this year. And also, you know, podcasting, as we've said this before, it's a bit of a weird thing sometimes. It feels like we have these incredible conversations, but you don't know whose ears you end up in. And we've seen over time, fortunately, that we've ended up in all over the world, people from all different kinds of the walks of life, different organizations. So it's been great that we've known the impact the pod has made, but it's still great having this sort of validation. So the podcast of the year was obviously a big one. And then secondly, at a very high level, we've finally written that book. And it's a very modern book. The way that you articulated it so well previously was that it was 9,500 minutes of audio that have been captured through our conversations, distilled down by a copywriter, and then augmented through artificial intelligence. So really a very modern book that we are putting out. And I'm so proud of that effort. And I can't wait for it. We have the cover. I can't wait for that book to be in its physical form and for us to hold it and to sell it and to talk about it.
They haven't said the last piece. What? And to what?
And to create it as a bestseller, of course. Yes.
Thank you.
That's a given. So apart from those big highlights, here are a couple smaller things to know. We were listened to in 56 countries across the world, the top five being South Africa, the United States, United Kingdom, the UAE, and Canada. We just have to make peace with the peacock as the co-host here on this show today.
That's fine. No problem.
Yeah. Our most popular episode was the masterclass on networking. It's interesting. Well, the masterclasses overall, we know, performs very well. And I think people like the tactical stuff because we do speak quite high level across many of the pods. So I think the masterclasses, people enjoy the sort of like honing in on it. Our listeners spread, most of our listeners are between 35 and 44, 36% of our audience. The next range is 45 to 54. And then the smallest is 25 to 34. We need to grow our young listeners, do more TikTok dances to get them on.
Next year, yes.
An average rating of 4.8 for the pod across all the different platforms Spotify and iTunes.
Yes.
I mean, I look at this and I just go, it's been an another amazing year for the pod. We are 5 years in, you know that. Like, it's mind-blowing. 5 years doing one form of content. It's like, I don't think I've ever done anything that long.
I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody as much as I've spoken to you, bro. Like, I mean, we're continuously speaking to each other. Yeah, that's insane. Fantastic. What a win.
So high level, that's what the pod did for the year. What are your thoughts just on what I've just shared with you?
Thank you so much for sharing them. I mean, obviously you're the stat guy. I never know what's going on with the pod. You always like send me like details, like check what happened here. I'm like, wow, that happened? Well, that's amazing.
In all fairness, this time it was Rob sending it to me. This wasn't my effort.
Fair enough. Yeah, sure. Look, I'm just very grateful to the listeners. Thank you so much for joining us every week. Thank you to our sponsors. We even started to get some sponsorships this year from Investec and like a whole bunch of really great brands. So thank you so much for that as well. And we're evolving. We're trying new things. The book is a new thing. Our new format that we've kind of done two or three times only is also something new that we wanted to trial out. And we'll continue doing that as we move into 2025. I think the challenge that I've had, Eric, is that we've been so busy. And, you know, making the time to connect and to actually do it between time zones and finding unique things to talk about has been a real challenge for me. And I've been kind of upset with myself for not prioritizing it more. You know, I sometimes think like even you and I haven't been on the pod together for so long. I don't like that, you know? And when I think of a Scott Galloway and these other guys, they've got busier schedules than us and they're making the pod work. So I think the commitment to me for 2025 is to really just do more, be more fastidious about it and just be better at it. You know, we want the pod to do better. And I think we have to show up better. And maybe I'm just speaking to myself, but I need to show up better and I just want to do better. So thank you so much for this year. But you know, another year, another big one, two books being launched, obviously one with The Expansive and just a lot more growth ahead of us. And as I move more and more into the American market, hopefully we can open up more and more markets for the pod and also with you doing more international work, that should also start to happen. So yeah, I think we've got a great trajectory ahead of us and 2025 looks promising and we need more of a commitment from you and I. So that's kind of how I feel. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that, you know, typically how the format has worked is that I've always been quite stationary while you've been very mobile. And I think for the latter half of the year, I was also a lot more mobile than I usually am. And I think so we've tried to coordinate across three time zones at certain points in time and it becomes
very tough.
Tricky, you know. It's not an excuse, but it does become tricky. But I've definitely felt the podcast is so integrated into my routine as well that I've noticed the absence of it. I've felt disconnected.
Me too.
Because we haven't been in that routine. And it's bugged me because I like the routine. I like the sessions that we get to jump on and have conversations and banter and become enriched and be more expansive as a result of actually doing this. Because that's always been a big part of why we get on, is that this is us in the process of being more expansive and sharing that process and hoping that others join us in that process as well. So it's noticeable for me when we aren't in rhythm. And I agree that I think we just need to, it's figuring it out. It's always just, you know, we move with the times and we move with where we move to. So we'll get there next year. But I think a recommitment is a good idea.
Yeah. Congratulations on your longest bromance. Happy anniversary. It's my longest term bromance. We are now moving into uncharted territories, Eric.
We're now doing books together. Yeah.
Now we're even doing books like together. We're sharing books covers of books. That's a whole new one. You know, I bless my other co-author, Iraj Abadian. And he is so proud of our book, Future Next, you know, and he's on umpteen different interviews. And the one book he has is Future Next in the background constantly. And he constantly sends me videos interviewed. I'm like, Iraj, bless you, bro. He's on Al Jazeera, BBC. I mean, he's on these major news networks. They're asking him about what's going on in Iran and ANC. And I mean, his answers are phenomenal. Every time I listen to anybody answer, I'm like, geez, you know so much. So he's my proper, like, my man crush in many ways. And he's got our book in the background. I'm like, yes, man. Go, Iraj. Go. I love you. Go. So very good. You know, we're always exploring new ideas and trends here on The Expansive. And a little while ago, we shared a podcast we think you'd love. It's called The Current, brought to you by Investec. It's all about South Africa's shift to clean, sustainable energy. And here's something exciting. The Current just won gold in the business category at the SA Podcasting Awards. How cool is that, that we're starting to celebrate things about sustainability and about the shift to clean? There's one episode that really caught my attention, and it's all about electric vehicles. I learned about SA's first electric mini taxi, and this is really, really exciting. It's called the eComva, which means future in Corsa. It seats 15 people and runs entirely on batteries. So impressive. And for businesses, there's even leasing options for these EV fleets, which makes the transition even more easier. And for anyone worried about things like charging stations, don't be. There are always, sorry. And for anyone worried about these, yeah. And for anyone worried about things like charging stations, don't be. There are already over 500 charging stations across the country and more on the way. Plus, if you've got solar at home or at work, you can charge your car right there. It's not just about going green. It's about what's going to happen in the future and for us to be part of it. So whether you're curious about electric vehicles or just love hearing from industry leaders, check out The Current. It's hosted by Iman Rapetti and dives deep into topics like this. You'll walk away inspired and maybe even ready to make the change. The link's in our description. Go give it a listen.
All right, dude. So let's shift from the pod to a little bit more personal. And I sent through a few reflections for us to talk about as we close off the end of the year. So first one, what has been your favorite moment for the year?
Very difficult to talk about one moment. I think like what comes to mind is I was traveling. I don't know where I was. I think I was in Switzerland or I don't know where I was. But Shams messaged me, who's my left brain and business manager. And she said, John, do you know we've hit 60 keynotes today? I was like, what? She's like, yeah, today, this is the one you're about to do is your 60th one. I'm like, wow, what? We only in October. We've already hit 60? She's like, yeah, congratulations. I was like, my God, I can't believe it. You know, last year we did 52 the whole year. And this year we did 60. And it was just such a milestone. And also the milestone was so surprising. I wasn't tracking it. And also sometimes when you send me the stats of the pod, I'm just so delighted. And it's those delightful surprises that I wasn't measuring that hit me. And I'm like, oh my God, what an absolute delight and joy and surprise. So I think that would be the first one. And the second one is, you know, I've bought my own place now in Dubai and I've had my own, it's my own place for the first time in, actually the last time I owned a property was 2009. I've just been renting since then. And now that I've bought my own place, I also, there's a very different sense of belonging. And even now, just as you see the sigh I have, it's just, it's a beautiful feeling that I have a cocoon that I can recharge in. And it was, I met this lady at a Dr. Joe and she said to me, she's a feng shui master. And I was saying to her, like, what about nomadic people? How does feng shui work with nomadic people, you know? And she said, it's amazing that you're nomadic and enjoy it. But remember that all the things you're asking from the universe and from God, where are they supposed to deliver it if you don't have an address?
Sure.
And I was like, wow, that's like so deep. I didn't realize how important that cocoon is. And so I think that the milestone of reaching 60, and we've closed off on 78 talks for the year, and having my own home this year, going into my 50th year next year, I feel very, very grateful and I'm very, very settled and grateful for the next sort of James Bond years, as I call it, I'm about to move into my James Bond year. So both of those really have been amazing, amazing reflections for me. Thank you for asking. Tell me about yours.
Yeah, I think the grounding is so important for you, you know, because I almost have this like vision in my head, like even when you think of like shepherds back in the day, like they would move their flock across like vast places, but they always come back to like a, you know, like their home ground. So I think that's going to be very good for you having that grounding. John, just congrats, dude. Jeez, like it's been a huge year for you, you know, like it, and it's always, I send you these voice notes to tell you how incredible it is to be a part of that journey, but also to witness the journey and to also just, you know, I get to, like in our conversations, I hear a lot about the processing and the internal work that you're doing and the ambitions that you have and the goals that you're setting and maybe things that you might not always mention publicly. And I see all of that and the effort goes into creating it, creating this reality for you. And I'm very proud of it, man. And I'm very grateful to be a part of that journey as well and to get to see it and to learn from you in the process as well.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I have a very like specific favorite moment for the year. And it's not just because of the recency, but like my trip to Mexico was really a highlight for me in a few different ways. But I think the thing that I loved the most about it was taking Danica with me.
And how cool.
I've been, yeah, you know, like since from the moment that I thought I want to be a speaker and I want to be able to travel for speaking, one of my first thoughts was I'd love to be able to do that with her and to have clients that hire me that pay me a lot of money to come and speak for them. And I get to take her with me and we get to experience the world through my speaking, you know, and we did that once before, which was in Zambia for Discovery.
Bali? Didn't you do Bali with her as well?
No, she didn't come to Bali. No, she came to Zambia. We went to Vic Falls. It was just before the COVID hit. And then after that, we haven't done anything like this. And then obviously Mexico came around. She was going to come to Bali, but we decided not to do Bali. Santo Domingo was too quick, but Mexico turned out to be perfect. And it was just so great to have her with me and to be traveling with her. And in between talks, you know, we were able to go and do things together. And even just having her come with to client houses, like for lunches and suppers. And I loved two things. I loved the experience with her and doing it with her. And secondly, it was also just such a reminder again that like what you set your mind to becomes reality, because this was an intention that I set many years ago that I wanted this sort of life. And then it's so easy to get into that life and not even realize that you're there. And so during the trip, I had this aha moment where I was like, this is literally the life that you said you wanted to create. And here you are. And don't forget that this is the power of what creation is about.
I also think one thing you can add to that, Eric, is if you want an international tour, bro. Like, don't forget. Yeah. That, you know what I mean?
No, dude.
That's like she was watching you firsthand live out your dream of being on an international tour on the other side of the world, being celebrated by people that don't even speak English most of the time. They only speak Spanish, and you're there being translated. I mean, that's a huge, you're so far from home, so far from your normal world, you know? So congratulations.
Yeah. And I felt like I belong. That was a very important part for me.
Yes. You know, like, no imposter syndrome.
No imposter syndrome. Know that I can deliver. Know that I'm there for a good reason. So yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah. Well done. Congratulations. And I saw Danica. It was so funny. So funny. I wish you had made more videos like that. Danica getting drunk in the pool on margaritas while you're going to go work. And she was so coy with the camera. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Danica drunk, to be honest, or tipsy, whatever she was. And the way she was like dancing and like being shy from the camera, but like, bye, I'm going to have fun while you're working. Yeah. It was a great video. I loved it. It was like my favorite video of you. It was really cool.
Also, I loved it.
So much fun. And as you said, also that water in Cancun, dude, the water in Cancun, what? The water is unbelievable. It feels like a blue highlighter. They've taken a blue highlighter and they're like highlighted the water. It's incredible.
But doesn't it also just like, it feels like velvet against your skin?
Oof. No, it's wonderful.
It's incredible.
No, it's wonderful.
Mm. All right. Let's talk about the biggest challenge for the year.
This is a double-edged sword, really, is being booked for talks and then getting a request to go and speak somewhere for triple the amount of money at another event. And I can't say yes. And, you know, that happened so many times. Eventually, Shams and I were just laughing. We're like, another event on the same day as that other event that we agreed to 6 months ago at a tenth of the price of this other event is going to pay us. So it was challenging to keep saying no to hundreds of thousands of dolaros. I was like, okay, well, whatever. That's what happened. I can't split myself into two, right? So that was very challenging for me because I really had a couple coaching sessions about it. I was so angry. Like, I was angry with myself. I don't know why. I was like, I'm saying no to hard cash because of some dumb event I agreed to 10 months ago. So it forced us to up our prices. Like that's what we've done for the next year is we've just upped our prices and it's the best problem to have. I was actually had a very long conversation with my agent in America and she said, look, this is a wonderful problem. This is shows the next layer is not necessary for you to jump into. And so, yes, I mean, I'm being facetious. That's not a real challenge, but it was a challenge. You know, it was very difficult to do that. And figuring it out is something that we really focused on for next year. So, that's what kind of comes top of mind at the moment.
It's a kind of like a humble brag challenge. I'm looking for like a
I'm not trying to be a humble brag, but I promise you, I took a lot of strain because there's a lack of gratitude. You know, and there's a lack of gratitude for already having a gig that's already paid you and now you're upset about it because there was more. It's like greedy. Like my challenge was my greedy self. That was my challenge. And it's a real challenge because it's like I was coming up against myself. I wasn't getting over myself. I wasn't being grateful for it. And I was frustrated with that, you know. So yes, it is a humble brag, but it was difficult, bro. It really was difficult inside my head.
I get it.
Sorry, I don't have another one top of mind. What about you? I'll think about it. You go ahead and maybe another one will pop up.
All right. So my biggest challenge it's a tough one for me, but it was learning to live without Axel by my side.
Oh, flip. I knew that was going to come up.
It had to feature, dude.
Damn it.
This has been so for those of you who don't know, who've not listened to the pod before, Axel was my first dog that we had. He passed away last October, so 2023 October. First full year without him, first year having to celebrate or do his, like a memorial for him on his day of passing. And it's been brutal. It's been really tough, but it's also been, like there's been moments that have like felt a little bit easier. What's been pretty amazing is like Google Photos, you know, every day sends you like these memories and like there's not one memory that he's not in. So it's been cool to see like how deeply integrated he was in my life. And I think through this, like, there were a few things that I've like deeply come to appreciate about grief this year. And I still wanted to do an episode on grief as well.
Yes, yes.
The first one is that there's this quote that says, when it's all said and done, grief is the price we pay for love. Mm. And I think it's, you know, you realize how true it is, the deeper you go into your grief. The second is that I think, as with everything in life, you have a choice in how you respond to your grief. And some people have the tendency to clam down, which makes sense because it's a very painful thing to go through. But if you let it, then your grief will crack you wide open and it will make you feel that love that you've lost even deeper. But it'll really catalyze a different future for you. And I think that's what's really happened for us. Like, when I look at the life that I have today, I see Axel in so many things in how he created that, the future that we have today. And so, like Jaeger, Atlas, you know, even my relationship with Dan, like, all of that has been strengthened as a result of him. And the one thing I did realize as I was preparing for this was Axel also put in motion for us going on all these adventures. Like, we would go away like almost every month, you know, and we haven't done that at all this year. Like, and I think that's because he's just not been there. So it's been a good reminder to get back into that. And then the last thing that I just want to tell you about that is that, again, like, my time in Mexico was really like meaningful to me in many ways. One thing about Mexico is that they have a very different relationship with death.
Yes,
compared
that's
to
right.
too many
yeah.
people.
Yeah, they do.
So they have Dia de los Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead.
Day of the Death. Yeah, Day of the Dead.
Yeah. And so what they do is they celebrate death, and they don't see it as something to be like hidden or just to, you know, think about it in painful ways all the time. They want to celebrate it. And so they, on during this festival, they put up altars of ofrendas, and then they'll do
the thing they like the most. Like, they put food
yeah,
in front of
bring,
the picture,
like the food
alcohol,
or drinks,
whatever. Yeah,
or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And they've actually now included it to include pets. So that's like a newer thing. Yeah, because generations are changing. And so now they're also making time for pets. So I got this little like, I don't know if you can really be able to see it, but it's...
So there we go. I got it.
There
oh,
we go.
Cute, man.
Yeah.
Cute.
It's like a little, memorial for Axel. And what I wanted to say is that what Dia de los Muertos, like the prime idea behind it, is that you die twice. The first time is when they put your body into the grave, and the second time is the last time that someone speaks your name. And so the idea is that through the Day of the Dead, we never stop speaking your name because we are always honoring you. And that's been like, I've been thinking about that so much for Axel.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow, I'm holding back my emotions in a big way. I know, bro.
Yeah, so
I know that process.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've dedicated our book to Axel.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was...
Thank you for that.
That was definitely my biggest challenge. And
it does get easier, bro.
Yeah, but, you know, it does get easier, but the grief isn't something to wish away or to try and like get sure. through as quickly as possible. It's actually like, yeah, I've come to appreciate it for the connection that it creates between what is and what used to be. And also the fact that like through certain offerings and honorings, you get to keep people with you and pets with you. And
of course, do you know, in my new house, I putting a cork board up and a big like whiteboard. And on the corkboard, in one of the meditations, I was thinking, what am I going to put up on the corkboard? And the first thing I thought about is a picture of Superdog. And then I thought the second picture I want is a picture of Bean. And then I realized the third picture I want is of dog. So what I'm making that corkboard is all the dogs I have in my life and all the dogs I've had in my life. And I was like, my whole corkboard is going to be all the dogs and the relationships of dogs I've had.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that just came to me in a relationship. I mean, in a meditation, I was like, yes, man, that's my corkboard.
Brilliant.
It's dog-focused corkboard. Yeah, yeah. So bless those doggies. Bless all of them. I love every single one of them. They're little precious little sentient beings.
So listen, last one. What is, tell us about your word for the year, or what your word that was for the year for 2024, and how do you think that ended up playing out for you?
Yeah, so my word for the year was rewilding. And it was about accessing my true masculine and to celebrate my true masculine. I think society has created a world where you aren't really allowed to show aspects of your masculinity. They seem out of kilter in some ways. And I think just being sort of like optimistic sometimes triggers some woke people because they want to stay in their drama triangle and their victimhood. And, you know, you were part of one of those sessions where I had the woke mob going after me by saying, don't be a victim to your past. Oh, no, that's not allowed. We must all be victims to our past. Oh, please, get over it. So if you are listening to this, please stop. I don't want you to be listening to this if you're a woke member. So yeah, I think the rewilding really, really, really has helped me to access parts of my masculine and, more importantly, accept them and forgive myself of anything that I thought I had done wrong, because I've done nothing wrong. But the judgment of self, Courtney, was continuously judging myself of any of the actions I had. And so really being able to accept and connect with my masculine, doing the Tantra workshop at the beginning of the year, accepting myself at deeper levels, not just in sexuality, but of my masculinity in many different ways, of how I express my masculinity, how I'm proud of my masculinity, how, you know, I was actually making a post. I've become really good two friends in the retreats, Remy and Marco. We've been together at a bunch of different retreats, and we've become really good friends at this retreat. We're really connected. And I was making a post about the time I've spent with them, because it's been so deep and so awesome connecting with these guys. And the post that kind of is bubbling in my head is, in order for us to become the men that we dream to become, we have to be playful and childish like the boys we used to be. And in order to be like you engage that playfulness of the boyish you to access and give permission to this dream man that you want to be.
Mm.
And it's exactly that, because we laughed and we cried and we stilled and we were angry together and we were joking that we want to shoot off the place. I mean, we're just having fun, just joking around. But ultimately, accessing the masculine, accessing this conscientious, open-hearted, powerful, boundaried, optimistic man that the world requires. And I think the word rewilding really gave me that permission and that reminder to keep going back to my masculinity, keep accepting it, keep forgiving it, and keep celebrating it.
You know, I think for men to be men, men need to be around men. Like that brotherhood aspect is so, like, it's so important. But I love what you said about for men to be men, they have to play like boys again. I think that's why that brotherhood thing is so important, is because it's often when, like, if you go on a golf tour, for example, like, it's a very different energy, like, when it's just a bunch of guys having fun. And I'm not talking about, like, the ones where you, like, just, like, drink and, like, you know.
No,
like,
no.
But you're playing golf together and, like, you're having fun. Like, there's a different connection that emerges from that sort of. Yeah, okay. I really like that. So I'll just quickly tell you, my word for the year was new. And, geez, did it deliver. So, it delivered in big ways. Traveled to new countries to talk, moved to a new house, launched new keynotes, writing a new book. Because I also have a new book coming out next year. Working title is still Age of Change for now. So we'll both have two books coming out next year. New formats for the pod, new awards, new approaches to personal growth, new coaches, new heights in my business. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's definitely a word that delivered over and over. And I remember very specifically when I was setting the intention for it, I was feeling stuck. You know, it felt to me like for a few years I've been doing the same things and I was getting the same results. And it just proved to be true. And the moment I started thinking about, well, what are some new things to introduce across my life, not just in my business, it started to shift. And I guess that's what we always kind of say, is that the thing that you're looking for is somewhere in the unknown. And the only way you get to the unknown is you have to leave the known. You have to leave where you are, which can be difficult because it's so comfortable where we are. And I don't mean that in like a comfort zone point of view. I mean, like, literally, like, our minds are just so at ease with where we are. And it's so difficult to see new patterns when your mind is occupied with existing patterns. And so I guess this year, like, what has been great has been actively pushing to try new things, but also just really cultivating an openness to change and not just judging things as they come up, you know, like, because I think that's what often happens is we see new opportunities, we judge it good or bad, or like yes or no, instead of just being a bit more curious and just sitting with it for a bit longer. And this year I've been better doing that. So yeah, it's been a great word. I'd say the only other word that has been more powerful for me was dangerous, because dangerous is so closely tied to the book and I was really living that. But this has been a really powerful word and good word for my year.
You know, I've had a few people comment that you've changed.
I feel changed, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel changed.
A few people have commented that you're sharing deep differently. And I also think because you're also more successful and your success is showing as a reflection point to the work that you've done. And I have been telling you for many, many, many years to go more into your heart and less in your mind. And I think your journey with psilocybin and your journey as a Capetonian, becoming more and more of a hippie, has helped you access your heart more and more. Just offline, Eric was telling us his schedule for the next few days, and it's all hippie dippy things. This Joburg boy has now all of a sudden going to wear he's going to start wearing sandals, growing his hair. Next year, he's going to have long hair, and he's going to change his name to Erico Nico. And the hippie dippy is here, accessing his heart. Good for you, Eric. For you, bro. Congratulations. Awesome. Yeah, what a great pod.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. It's been a great, I love you a lot and I really appreciate our friendship. I appreciate this pod and appreciate your patience in getting things done. Sometimes you're lazy and I know this because your wife was going to fire you as well. So I'm not the only one. So I'm with Danica on that. But you take your time. I'm not going to call it lazy. Sorry.
Listen, I think we take our time on different things. Yes,
that's true. That's true. That's true. But overall, it's always fun. It's always loving. Your ability to witness me and to celebrate my wins is, you're one of the very few people, you know that. When something big happens, I'm like, you're the first person I call because it's a little bit of a show off if I go tell other people. It's like weird. I can't like write it on social media. I'm like, guess what I just earned? Like, that's not gonna work, you know? So thank you for holding that space for me and thank you for witnessing me as a brother, you know, not somebody who's competing, but just celebrating it. And so I wish for more of that for 2025 and thank you.
Yeah, and thanks to you, dude. I don't know, you know, how we've gotten 5 years into this. It's incredible to have had the energy, especially because we initially said that the moment we feel like we're bored with this and we were quite honest about it, that we'll just stop. And there's been no stopping. It's only been getting bigger and better and more experimentation. And I think ultimately it is because it comes from a relationship where there's really just good intentions all around. And we banter and we give each other a bit of stick sometimes, but it's all in service of still wanting each other to succeed. And it's been great to refer some gigs to you this year. So
what?
It's been my pleasure.
No, yeah, whatever.
It's been my
whatever. No, 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 no.
It's been my
no,
pleasure.
No, no,
it's been my absolute
no, no,
pleasure
no, no,
to do
wait,
that for
can
you
I just,
this year.
Can I just, yeah. No, no, no.
Listen.
No, no, no.
whether those gigs landed or not, that's a
exactly.
different story. That's
exactly.
a different story.
Exactly.
If you can't close them, that isn't on me. My job is to send them to you.
Look,
the only time a gig is a gig is
when that money's in my account. Otherwise, it's called a referral.
I can't close them for you.
But you're right.
It's been my absolute pleasure to refer
thank
to you.
Thank you
this
for
year.
The referral. Thank
and,
you.
And thank you for
you.
The referrals that you've sent to me this year.
No, no, no.
As well.
I've sent you the gigs. No, they're different. They're different, Eric. Let's clear it up. I'm your number one sales agent. You're my number one referral agent. They're very different. They're very, very different. But thank you.
Listen, it's been a blast. I have to go to a sound bath. So thanks again for the year. It's been phenomenal. I look forward to 2025 and everything that it's going to bring. To all our listeners, of course, you know, the most important people on this pod, we've appreciated your patience with us as we've gone through also recalibrating the pod and figuring out new formats and also having, you know, quite admittedly being inconsistent with the pod for maybe this, but know that you have our commitment that we are going to get back into a good rhythm for next year. bigger, better pod, and more insights, more helping you to become a master of change, more helping you figure out how to deal with this rapidly evolving world around us. You know, every day, like I've been playing with AI a lot and also trying to find ways to bring it into the pod for us. And I can tell you, it's a damn exciting world we are moving into. At the same time, like we've said, very scary, and we're having to figure lots of things out, and we are here to help you make sense of it. And that really is our mission for next year. So yeah, thank you for sticking around and for taining us in your ears.
Thank you so much, everybody. Until next year, have a wonderful break and make sure you recharge and recalibrate yourself, because 2025 is going to be wild. Until then, ciao.